When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week. He is enjoying his vacation. Alongside Alex Curry, we have a huge show for you today. Got a little bit of news this morning.
What a morning.
Yeah,
Wake up with the goat.
Just some casual news.
Joining the fam.
Thank you so much for joining us today and hanging out with us all week. We have a very exciting show today. Lots of NBA talk, a little NFL to sneak in here. But yeah, I gotta say, I've spent a lot of time in my career talking about Tom Brady, discussing various aspects of his career, his successes, and it is pretty surreal now to be talking about him as a coworker.
He's going
to
join the fam,
which is very exciting. So if you haven't heard the news, Tom Brady is joining Fox Sports as our lead NFL analyst when he retires. Very important to mention when he retires, because although this is very big news for today, this is not an announcement that he is coming right now. Here is our announcement from Fox Sports NFL. We are pleased to announce that immediately following his playing career, seven-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady will be joining us at Fox Sports as our lead analyst. And he responded to the news on Twitter saying, "Excited, but a lot of unfinished business on the field with the Buccaneers. Hashtag LFG. Everyone knows what that means. I'd like to keep my job here at Fox, so I'm not going to read that one. You'll figure it out. It's very exciting, though. And, you know, him coming here is, you know, as Shannon just mentioned, if you were listening before the break, it's like Michael Jordan walking off the court and immediately joining as an analyst. I mean, this is the greatest player of all time joining the Fox Sports family as the lead analyst.
It doesn't get bigger. It does not get bigger.
No, it does not get bigger.
It does not get bigger than Tom Brady joining a broadcast team.
No. And there's levels to this, obviously. Like, him joining is very important, and it's impactful, and it's exciting, but This is also an answer to something that we have all discussed when it comes to Tom Brady for a very long time. What is Tom Brady going to do when he retires? Now, he did have a bit of a retirement announcement, obviously, not too long ago, a few months ago, and it was very short-lived, and we weren't really sure what direction he was going in. But we've always discussed what's going to be the next chapter for Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is a very unique athlete and superstar in many different ways. But aside from his greatness, his obvious, you know, GOAT status and Hall of Fame status and legend status, he also is a uniquely obsessive superstar. He is in that class of Michael Jordan and Kobe and the guys that we know absolutely obsess over the game. He is extremely competitive, insanely competitive. He is a guy that has held on to that chip on his shoulder from being a sixth round pick for his entire career. So we now have an answer for what the next chapter will be. And I got to be honest, I didn't know that I expected him to go into broadcasting. I think a lot of us expected him to, you know, really dive into the business side of things. But he's sort of been chipping away at the media side of things for quite a while. He has obviously completely leaned into social media since he's joined the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He had a pretty, I don't want to say laid back, but reserved persona when he was with the Patriots, because that's what was asked of him for 20 years with the Death Star. That was their motto, do your job. And he was the model citizen for that Patriots persona. Since he's been with the Buccaneers, he's been all over social media. He's been all over Instagram. He's completely leaned into being a much more public personality. We have so much more access to him. And that kind of started at the end of his time with the Patriots, but now it has completely exploded. He obviously had the Tom versus Time documentary. He's been doing a whole lot more interviews. You've seen him more at celebrity events. He had the Man in the Arena. He has the Let's Go podcast. Was a part of the match. He's doing a movie right now, 80 for Brady, obviously as a production company. So this is sort of the where he's been trending lately with his, at least his public persona, for quite some time. So this is a perfect transition for him. I never thought he was going to sail off into the sunset and pick up crocheting. He was obviously going to do something that was huge and impactful, because that is the type of person that he has shown us to be. But even if he were to dive into the businesses that he's already started, that doesn't necessarily provide the routine that we know Tom is obsessed with. There's a clip that we play all the time from Tom Brady on his Tom versus Time documentary. And I think this is a great hint to how he's going to be as a broadcaster.
I watch tape all day Monday, all day Tuesday. And then Saturday before the game, I watch film. And then Sunday morning, I watch film. I don't know why I can sit here and watch it and, you know, process information quickly, but I can. Running and lifting has been much harder to develop than this. This has kind of been in me. I mean, I could literally, like, just watch film all day.
Well, you'll have plenty of film to watch as the lead analyst, and you don't have to do any of the running or lifting in order to do that job. So this is the perfect place for him. We're very excited to have Tom Brady. It's hard for players to just walk away from the game, and I imagine it would be very difficult for Tom Brady to not only walk away from the game, not have any closeness or proximity to the game, but also not have any type of routine. He is obviously obsessed with the game of football. Family and football is what Brady is. And being an analyst requires that you be very close to the game. You do a lot of what we just showed, which is watching a lot of tape. And, you know, it provides a lot of responsibility and a routine, which I know me personally, not that I'm comparing myself to Tom Brady, right, before everyone starts freaking out. I do like having a routine. Colin and I talk about this a lot. We're routine people. I like knowing I have this to do tomorrow. I have this schedule. I'm going to park in this parking spot. I'm going to have this for breakfast. And I like the routine of things. I like building towards something over a period of time. And that's exactly what this role is going to provide him. And it's just really special that we're going to be able to get the perspective of the greatest player of all time while we watch the biggest games in football every week. So congratulations. Very excited to have you here at Fox Sports. And I think this is so much more than just an announcement for the company. We have now an answer about what Tom Brady is going to do upon retiring, which, again, not yet. unfinished business, according to Brady. So it could be this year, it could be next year. He will let us know when he's going to retire. But now we know where he will be, and that is here with us at Fox Sports. So very excited to hear that, and that's big news this morning. Now switching to the NBA playoffs, two games last night, two very good games. The late game was a little clunkier than the first, but illuminating nonetheless. And as I'm watching the NBA playoffs progress, and I really got this feeling going into the playoffs in the first round, and now you're really seeing it develop in the second round of the playoffs, I think we're seeing some significant trends with the NBA, and I think it's really healthy for the league. One, we're seeing really well-developed, well-run, well-coached teams that are deep go far in the playoffs and be there consistently. I think that's great for fans. I think it's great for the league as far as the development of young players and of establishing new stars goes. And we're seeing some real rivalries develop because these teams are consistently there. They see each other a lot. We're able to see the storylines of the players develop and really thrive. And the animosity level that we've seen throughout this playoffs is adding to those rivalries. So those are the two big complaints about the NBA, right? Like it's all star driven. Everyone's changing teams. There's no consistency. You can't be a fan of anyone. You got to change jerseys all the time. All the players, all the stars make all the decisions. Well, you're not seeing that with the teams that are in the playoffs now. In fact, Philadelphia is the only team in the playoffs right now that's made a drastic move for a superstar as of recent in James Harden. And that wasn't even something they really wanted to do originally. They wanted to run it with Ben Simmons, and it wasn't working out. So I would argue it was sort of, their hand was forced in that space. They've been the one that's trust the process, that's wanted to develop year after year after year. So what we're seeing with all these teams, if you look at the teams that are remaining, is that there's a lot of parity, there's a lot of balance, and it is really benefiting teams that are consistent, that are loyal, that are patient, that develop players, that of course are aggressive in moves when they need to be. They're not complacent, but they're also not panicking. And I think that's really important for the NBA right now. There's been so many critics of the NBA poking at these specific things. There's no rivalries anymore. We need villains. Well, you're getting rivalries and you're getting animosity and you're getting, you know, some borderline dirty play in these playoffs right now. You can't argue that. Oh, it's all about the stars. Everybody's superstars changing teams. AAU pairing up together. You're not seeing that this year either. And you didn't really see it last year. These teams are developing. They're well coached. They're well run. Even when they make moves, like Brad Stevens moving into the front office, they're not drastic. They're not explosive. Everyone is consistently working towards the goal. And if it doesn't work out, it's not an explosion. It's not panic. It's not drama. And you're getting the rewards in that from the fans. The ratings are up 23% this year. That is significant. So everything is pointing to the league is in a really healthy place. We're always talking about who's the face of the league and what's going to happen when LeBron retires. And listen, you need superstars. I am a superstar person. You need storylines. You need narratives. You need villains. You need all that. I agree. But I think what you're seeing in the NBA playoffs is not only great basketball, you're seeing well-developed, well-coached teams, players having the opportunity to rise up and have big moments on the biggest stage, and a lot of success is being rewarded to teams that have been patient. And I think that's great for the league overall, and I think we're going to continue to see this trend moving forward. Of course, there's always going to be a team that pops up that puts together a bunch of stars. But the team that we thought was that team this year was Brooklyn. And they're nowhere to be found and got swept in the first round. So the trend for the NBA, very much like the NFL in some ways, is that you continuously tinker. You continuously make adjustments. You continue to grow. Panicking, firing coaches every 2 years, making these big swings with no guarantee of any kind of ROI is moving out the window, which I think is really flying in the face of everything that we as a society are with instant gratification. You have to be patient. You've got to build. You've got to allow young players to develop. You've got to add veterans that fit into systems that are willing to be selfless and sacrifice and have the big star that works with what you do. And that's what you're seeing in these NBA playoffs, and I think it's great. So really exciting show for you today. We'll talk to Rick Bucher about the NBA playoffs coming up in a little bit. Mary Kay Cabot. Cleveland's is of course, in the storylines again with their quarterback situation. So we'll get more from her. Amy Dash, there was an NIL notice that was released yesterday. She's a legal analyst. She'll break down what's going on with the NIL and a little bit more on the Deshaun Watson situation as well. And Amina Smith, NBC Sports Boston reporter and host. The Celtics had a big win last night. We'll talk to her about that and a lot more coming up on The Herd. Joy Taylor and Alex Curry in for Colin Cowherd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week. He is on vacation. We'll be back on Monday. So Alex and I are holding it down while he is in Italy. I wonder if how much wine he's enjoying in Italy. He's not a big wine guy.
I hope all the wine.
I know,
I mean,
but wine
in Italy.
Wine gives him snake dreams.
Wait, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much.
So maybe he's having what's the drink?
Limoncello.
Limoncello's delicious.
Yeah.
I had a lot of limoncello. No, the other
Aperol
drink.
Spritz.
Aperol Spritz, that's it. Everybody can't make those though. You gotta get the right combination.
Yeah.
Make it a little too
that's
sweet.
That's a fave.
Well, Tom Brady is our coworker, so that's exciting.
Huge.
That was huge news this morning. Tom Brady will be joining the Fox Sports family as our lead NFL analyst upon retirement. He's not announcing his retirement right now. This is what he's going to do upon retirement. So that was the big news this morning. But the NBA playoffs are in full swing, and we talked a little bit about some of the dirty plays, depending on how you feel about these plays. I felt like they were dirty plays, but that doesn't make them dirty players. You can have a dirty play and not be a dirty player. You can do something wrong and not be a bad person. Your reputation and what you do consistently, I think, matters. But there were some incidents in the Warriors Grizzlies series. Obviously, the Dylan Brooks foul on Gary Payton Jr. and most recently the Jordan Poole knee grab on Ja Morant, which inevitably led to him being out last night and the Grizzlies losing to the Warriors and going down 3-1. So it wasn't obviously extremely significant. I don't want to get into the conversation with you about whether or not he hurt Ja Morant. It doesn't matter. You're not God. You don't know. If Ja Morant says that's what hurt him, that's what hurt him. I don't want to. I'm not having that conversation with you. So if you're upset about that, I don't know. Talk to someone else about it. But we did talk a lot about that animosity yesterday and what it all really means. Again, as I started the show, there's this constant conversation about how soft the NBA is now. There's no rivalries. There's no edge. You know, in the 80s, everyone was competing. Now everyone's friends. Well, now I think you're kind of starting to see, you're starting to see the modern version of this, the modern players' version of what the animosity and rivalries are going to look like. It's not going to be the bad boy Pistons who were obviously what they were and did not apologize for it. And they were unique for that and immortalized for that. And that is them. And there were obviously some branches throughout those eras of basketball in the 80s and 90s where people completely leaned into that and it worked for them. And sometimes it didn't work. And that was that era. We're not in that era now. So there has to be some sort of modern evolution of playing tough, having rivalries, having animosity, having tension without it crossing the line that today's NBA is not going to allow you to cross through fines, suspensions, and whatever else, but also the relationships that these guys have, which I have no problem with. I think you can leave things on the court and it'd be okay. We don't need to have everything be a fight and war and all of that. But Dylan Brooks obviously had the foul on Gary Payton Jr., and we've been talking a lot about that. And he spoke about it. He said, I was just trying to make a play on the ball, and he was running full speed. I jumped, and he adjusted. It's in the past. I didn't mean for it to hurt somebody. If I were to take it back in a moment, I would. But it's the past. He said this after Grizzlies shoot around before game four yesterday. If I could take it back, I would. That's the modern player's version of this tension and animosity. I'm going to make the play, but then I'm going to apologize for it. So I'm going to play tough, but if it hurts someone, I'm going to apologize, which I'm okay with. I'm okay with apologizing. This whole idea that you could just do something wrong and stand by it forever, apologize. It doesn't hurt you as a man or as a woman or as a person to apologize for something. You can play tough and apologize. You can play tough and be empathetic. And we also saw last night Jordan Poole walk up to Ja Morant. Now, Ja was a little, you know, begrudging in his response to Jordan Poole. It's not like they stopped and hugged it out. But this is something. shook hands. Okay. Like, it happens. We had a moment. Obviously, it hurt Ja Morant, but this is where we are. Be tough, but be empathetic. I'm okay with this modern version of rivalries. And that's where we are. I think we need it. I do think we do need tough play. I think you need a little tension. You need villains. I very much believe in that. But it's also, if you hurt someone, just go ahead and apologize. Don't think less of you. Actually, I think more of you. Let's get to Alex Curry with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the NBA announced the Suns coach, Monty Williams, as the 2022 Coach of the Year yesterday. Williams led the Suns to a franchise league best 64-18 record, securing the top overall seed in the playoffs. But Williams didn't want to take all the credit. Take a listen.
If there's one award that exemplifies team, it's the Coach of the Year award, because there's so many people that help us have a consistent day, and they create a bubble for us to have success. So my name will go on the plaque or whatever, but my name represents a lot of names.
I love this, and I love Monty so much. Anytime I hear him mic'd up during the game, I just think to myself, I wish he was my life coach. Everything he says, you can hear his passion and his respect for the game and for the players, and you can see the respect that the players have for him. And he's taken this young group, obviously with the help of Chris Paul, and he's turned them into rock stars. He's done an incredible job.
Well, Monty, I think, is the perfect coach for this organization.
Yeah.
The Suns were a disaster for a long time. And we know all about the issues with the owner, the structure there, how people were treated. It was insane. Monty is that captain of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to tolerate any kind of shenanigans.
No.
You're not getting out of line in this situation in a respectful way.
Yeah.
But he is somebody that speaks and you respect what he has to say, both as a person and when it comes to basketball.
Yeah.
And I think the Suns have really shown that if the owner has now removed his influence on the situation and allowed James Jones and Monty Williams to run the team, and they've shown, let us do this basketball thing, and we can do this properly. And with respect and treating people well, and you know, it sounds all, you know, kumbaya, and I'm like, this is what you have to do.
That's what
if you want to establish a culture with an organization that has been dysfunctional for a long time. It's not just getting things right on the court. You have to establish something, a standard for how things are done, and Monty has done an unbelievable job.
And you need the respect. And you can see that, you can feel it, and then we are all seeing the results.
Yes.
This is what happens.
And you have to earn respect, which Monty has. And your reputation precedes you when it comes into a place.
Very well deserves. Congratulations. All right, moving on. Almost all of this year's big name quarterback dominoes have fallen except for Jimmy G. And reports indicate that the 49ers don't expect to deal the QB until just before training camp, aiming to shop Garoppolo again after he completes his rehab sometime this summer. Nick Wagoner of ESPN reports, after losing to the Rams in the NFC Championship, the expectation was that the first big piece of business, trading Garoppolo, would happen quickly. That was before it was known Garoppolo needed right shoulder surgery, a procedure that wiped out his trade value. Garoppolo's shoulder is slated to get the all clear in late June or early July, at which point the Niners will again seek a trade. Now, he is under contract next year. He's owed $25 million in 2022.
Yes.
Not that much when you consider what quarterbacks are making right now. And when you look at Jimmy's, I guess, career and what he's been able to do with the 49ers, he took him to a Super Bowl. He's done well in the playoffs. He's a good piece to pick up if you need him.
But who needs him?
That's the big cue.
So, and I understand the surgery thing wiped out the trade value, but we know what Jimmy G is at this point. We know that he is injury prone. What are teams waiting for to see how he is off surgery? Well, you're not going to see that on this timeline. I am just very suspicious of what's going on with the 49ers.
Well,
I don't trust it.
Too.
Kyle Shanahan is always playing all these little shell games with everything. I don't believe it. I don't. We're constantly hearing these little things about Trey Lance that he's not 100% there yet.
But
so I think they're hanging on to Jimmy G because they don't know if Trey Lance can play yet.
Yeah.
On top of the fact that there is not a big market for Jimmy G or Baker Mayfield, because as you said, the dominoes have fallen, the draft is over.
Yep.
People have made their trades and made their moves. Now, if I'm in desperate need of a quarterback, I'm going with Jimmy over Baker for multiple reasons, but they got him for a second round pick.
Yep.
Now he's way exceeded what they got for him. And I don't doubt, I mean, when I think people are untradeable, these moves get made all the time. And I'm like, okay, you know, these GMs know what they're doing, some of them. So I'm not going to say that they're not going to get more for him, especially in a quarterback market where everyone can become desperate very quickly if there are multiple injuries and, you know, things fall apart. You never know what's going to happen once you get to training camp, but I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if they held on to him just because of all the stuff we've been hearing about Trey Lance. Yes, they need to give him the shot. Yes, they need to just push him out there and see what they have and what he can do. But we've also heard rumors that the coaching staff is underwhelmed with this throwing. And like there are things that are leaking that are kind of a big deal and a big look into why they kept Jimmy all of last year.
Well, yeah, because
have him now.
We keep hearing them talk about, you know, he's such a good player. You can't let go of such a good player. He's not a cornerback. This is a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like this is a one man job.
The number one job on the team.
And it's for one person.
Yep.
So, and Jimmy is taking them to a Super Bowl. I know 49ers fans are all in on Trey Lance and wanting to see him. And I am too. I think that they should give it to Trey Lance. If you want a cautionary tale, look at what the Dolphins did with Tua. They still have no idea what Tua is because they keep playing these little games with giving him the starting job, which is why I'm glad it's his job finally now.
Yep.
He is uninhibited as the starter in Miami. Don't play those games with Trey Lance. And they gave up a lot to get Trey Lance. So eventually you have to let him play. You have to let him rise or fall. There's nothing wrong with failing. But you can't not try.
Yeah.
And that's what the Dolphins were doing for a while. And I don't know. I guess we have to wait and see. But I'm a little suspicious that that's what they're sort of leaning towards in San Francisco. I guess we'll see. I don't know about the trade market. Like, what difference does it make at
Nobody
this point?
Nobody knows.
He's always injured. It's not a big reveal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Downside. It's one big downside.
His injuries?
Yeah. Best ability is available.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not available. That's a huge deal, especially at the quarterback position.
All right, well, let's switch gears because the reigning AL MVP, Shohei Ohtani, added another stat to his growing resume last night, recording his first ever Grand Slam in either his Major League Baseball or his career in Japan. It was one of two home runs on the night for Ohtani in an 11-3 blowout to the Tampa Bay Rays by the Angels. Now, I had a front row seat to Shohei Ohtani's career into Major League Baseball. And he was Rookie of the Year when he entered the league in 2018. People are finally making a big deal about this guy and talking about him as much as he should. He is changing the game of baseball. He is an incredible two-way player who not only is an ace pitcher who throws 100 miles per hour, and then, like last night, hits two home runs, power hitter, grand slam. Oh, and he's on the mound again tomorrow. So, huge congratulations. Big shout out to my Angels family, who is first in the AL West right now. Congrats to Ohtani. Miss you guys. Much love.
No, he's such an incredible player. I love his commercial also.
Oh, he's great.
Like he's totally moving into superstar status, and it's fun to watch. And that's what MLB
needs
is these young superstars that they allow to be personalities. So I love that he's thriving. That's Alex Curry with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So we'll talk to Rick Bucher about the NBA playoffs, and I'm going to float some of my theories with him in a few minutes. But we got this story about another team in Dallas, the idea of adding another team to the Dallas area. And I mean, first of all, let's just start with absolutely not. That's where my opinion is on that. So the Dallas mayor said he wants to add another NFL franchise in the city. Now, look, the NFL is king of everything. We just got Tom Brady here at Fox. Like, it's the king of everything. And we know that. And we love the NFL. But what's perfect about the NFL, especially for today's society where we are all distracted, is every single game matters at the highest level. So the idea of expanding the NFL would not be as simple as adding one more team. You'd likely have to add multiple teams, and then that changes the entire landscape of the league. You could argue we could have less teams in the NFL, but adding another team to particularly the city of Dallas, is really a different conversation. If you're talking about adding another team, I mean, obviously New York has two teams. We have two teams here in LA. That was a big conversation, even bringing another team to the Los Angeles area. But Jerry Jones, I do not believe, would be interested in this at all. Now, the pushback on that is Dallas, if they did add another team to Dallas, the Dallas area, Jerry would make a lot of money because they would play it in Jerry's world. That would be a certainty. You're not going to build another stadium. So they would play it at Jerry's world and he would make a lot of money from that. But it would also distract and take away from the Dallas Cowboys, which is obviously Jerry's heart and soul outside of his family, of course. This is not necessary. They do not need another team in Dallas. If you are realistically talking about adding another team to the NFL, it would be international, which we've already had these conversations about, which is why the NFL plays in London, why they're playing in Germany this year, why they're playing in Mexico City. If you were going to add another team, add one in Mexico City. That's a realistic flight for everyone. I mean, if you got to fly from LA to Miami, I just did that. It's a really long flight. It's 5 hours. It's a lot on your body. What's the difference in flying to Mexico City? Toronto. Huge, huge sports fan base in Toronto. Or London. You got to, you know, mess with the schedule a little bit for the West Coast teams. But if you're going to add another team, do it internationally. It expands the brand of the NFL and set roots internationally. There's no point in adding another team to Dallas. First of all, I don't think that Jerry would ever go for this. I think he would fight it to the end of time to add another team to Dallas. But what would they be? They'd be, like, no offense, but they'd be the Clippers. Like, it's the Dallas Cowboys. It's America's team. And the argument is, like, are there enough humans or enough human beings to sustain another franchise in this city? Like, that was the conversation with having two teams in Los Angeles. Obviously, New York has done it successfully. But you've got to have butts in the seats. Like, it's a television product, obviously, but you also have to have people there. You have to have a fan base. You have to sell season tickets in order to sustain this. You have to sell merch. Like, there is a whole other side of this, not the majority side. The majority side is the television product. But this is not a thing that I think Jerry would ever even entertain. I don't think it's possible logistically for the NFL to add another team to Dallas, and I don't think that Dallas would be the place where they would do it.
Yeah, especially, like, we're here. We're in LA.
Right.
We almost have two of every team here. Fans, the mayor was saying, like, maybe, you know, different leagues, they'd be fans of both teams. It doesn't happen that way. You are either a Laker fan, you're a Clipper fan.
Fan of both teams.
You are a Dodger fan or an Angel fan, and you don't have Rams and Chargers fans together.
Fan of both teams.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Oh,
it's not going to happen.
Could you imagine the person with the split jersey with the Lakers and the Clippers?
Not in the same city.
Oh, I have a headache even thinking about it.
It just doesn't make sense.
No.
And there's always one that's king and one's like the little brother. It's just
what
it is.
Yeah, that's just how it happens.
It's how it is.
That's how it happens. Through winning, mostly.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the Lakers and Clippers. The Lakers have the banners. The Clippers do not.
Yeah. But Lakers
were
also,
like, the Giants
have
had the success more recently. The Jets have not.
Yeah.
You can go down the list in these multiple team cities, but, like, that's not even a question.
No.
There's not going to be a split Cowboys and whatever they would name the other team in Dallas. This is not happening. But it's an interesting thought, but there's not going to be split fans, and I don't think that Jerry Jones would ever want any kind of competition for football in his town, which is Dallas. We'll talk to Rick Bucher on the other side to get his thoughts on the NBA playoffs and my theory that the NBA is in the healthiest place that it's been in for a long time. That's coming up on The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week as he is enjoying the countryside of Italy. Let's go out to Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst. And now also a co-worker of Tom Brady's. As we will welcome Tom Brady to the Fox Sports family. upon retirement. But let's start with the NBA playoffs. So I spoke about it earlier on the show today. I think that the NBA is in the healthiest place it's been in a long time. If you look at the teams that are remaining in the playoffs, the competition level that we're getting in the playoffs, outside of the Grizzlies losing last night, so we would have had long series, obviously Ja not being in it, which we'll get to. And the teams that are in the playoffs are all well-coached, for the most part, very well-run, and have developed players. And you're seeing this in the ratings. The ratings up 23%. I think you're getting great basketball, and you're seeing patient, well-run organizations being rewarded with success. And I think that's great for the league.
I agree. Now, if they could just get the officiating right,
well,
we'd
yeah. we can't have everything, Rick.
Obviously, we can't. You know what's unique about this situation, though, Joy, is just generally the NBA enjoys its greatest popularity when it has a team that everybody's gunning for, when it has that super team and it has it in the major markets. And what we're seeing is while the major markets are, well, let's say bigger markets are engaged, we don't have LA, we don't have New York, and yet the numbers are going up. And I don't know whether this is a reflection of some sort of shift or whether it's the impact of social media, but the fact that you would have a Ja Morant in Memphis, a relatively new star, leading the social media engagement and the replays of videos, I think we're seeing maybe a sea change when it comes to sports, but certainly the NBA and how it gains traction and popularity. Because what we have right now, where we don't have really a favorite to win it all, and yet everybody is engaged and excited, that works for the NFL when there's parity. It generally has not worked for the NBA, and yet we are seeing a rise in popularity when we don't have that. So I don't know whether this is just an outlier or whether it's something new. But I, just as a sports fan, I would rather see the NBA parrot the NFL and make it about parity. Make the Memphis Grizzlies being great, Ja Morant being able to stay in Memphis and have all of the success and attention and celebrity that comes with being a great player in the NBA. I'd love to see that model work. It just hasn't in the past.
Yeah, it's interesting because the NBA tends to trend younger with the fans than the NFL. And maybe that has something to do with it because there's the younger fans didn't grow up watching the Bad Boy Pistons. They didn't even really see, Kobe's Lakers. They really are, the LeBron generation of fans that are now getting older. They're, they're in the purchasing age is mostly LeBron fans. Mm-hmm. Like, they certainly did not see all of that and forget Jordan. So there's a little bit of a different energy when it comes to what these younger fans are consuming and what they like. I do think rivalries are still important, but it's like I said earlier, like, it's kind of like soft rivalries. Like, yeah, we're going to play tough. Someone might step over the line, but then we're going to apologize for it. And that's just not something that you would see or hear in, the 80s or 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the other problem is that when we talk about rivalries or we talk about, back and forths, guys have to stay in one place for that to happen. The rivalries have to happen between teams, not players. And so are we going to see a sea change in that? Normally, at this point, job blowing up, people would be asking, okay, so where's he going to go next? When's he going to go to LA? When's he going to go to the Knicks? And we're not hearing that. And generally, we haven't heard that with international players. They're more likely to stay put. A Giannis Antetokounmpo staying in Milwaukee, that's generally the trend there. A player like Ja Morant would mean, well, he has to go to a big market. I mean, we've been hearing that for years with Donovan Mitchell being in Utah. So again, I'm hoping that we're arriving in a new place where a guy doesn't feel the need to have to go to a big market or an established franchise in order to compete for titles. And I also hope that Ja and the Memphis Grizzlies are able to keep together that group, because I think it's ready-made for the Warriors and the Grizzlies for the next 3, 4, 5 years to have these battles. They're already building history right now. And when you look at whether it's Jordan Poole or Steph Curry, the battle between them and John Morant at the point guard spot, the way they play very similarly. James Wiseman comes along, and now he's going up against Jaren Jackson Jr. It's like all the storylines are there for the Grizzlies-Warriors to be a great rivalry for years to come if everybody stays in place.
Yeah, I agree. I was saying in the meeting this morning, I feel like this series has been going on for a month. There's just been so much that's happened in this series that it's absolutely establishing history. I'm with you there that they do need to stay together. Well, Boston got a big win last night, so now that series is even. What is your expectation for that series moving forward?
I did not expect it to go seven. I expected the Bucks to win last night and this to be a six-game series. I'd now expect it to go seven, and I'm going to stay with the Bucks, but they need some guys to step up, and they need to put a muzzle on Al Horford at 35 years old. If you had told me, yeah, you know what's going to happen? Al is going to not only dunk on Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's going to drive past him and dunk on him, and he's going to get a career playoff high 30 points in a game four where the Bucks have an opportunity to put a stranglehold on the series. Did not expect any of that. I do believe Giannis is playing well. He's not playing great. The three's not falling. The free throws have been a little iffy. But more than anything else, nobody's coming along to join the party. Jason Tatum is getting an Al Horford. He's getting a Marcus Smart. He's getting help. And I look to Bobby Portis as the biggest absentee to this point. When P.J. Tucker left and went to Miami, I was not worried about it because I thought Bobby Portis was ready to step in. I thought he was a better offensive weapon, and I thought defensively he could do enough to make up for it. He did that against Chicago. When he did it against Chicago, they won in a walk. I expected to see more of that in this series, and I think it's more vital that he give them that in this series, but 15 minutes and 4 points in the last game is not going to get it done. So we'll have to see whether Mr. Googly Eyes, Bobby Buckets, is able to step up and give them a little more in this next game. Somebody has to. Drew Holiday, Bobby Portis, Grayson Allen, another big game. Somebody has to join the party with Giannis if the Bucks are going to get this done.
We're talking to Rick Bucher on The Herd. Someone said that P.J. Tucker move was going to be significant. I don't know who that could possibly be, but when it happened,
It's not significant yet, doctor.
She might be a doctor now.
Don't start assuming. Miami is in a dogfight themselves.
They sure are.
Let's not jump to conclusions.
They sure are. We have 2 minutes left, so let's go there then. What do you think of Harden? Is he going to string together a series of these performances? We know Miami Harden is very different than some other cities.
Yeah. No, I mean, this has been the problem. I never doubted that Harden could have a game like this. But what we expect from the James Hardens, what we expect from guys who've been named to the 70 all-time greats, is that they are consistently great. And that has not been it. And I don't know about, I hate to downplay what Harden did, but the three was falling and he was getting calls at the rim. And the Philadelphia 76ers seem to have bought into the idea that Harden was washed. I don't think they played him particularly hard. I believe that the Heat played him particularly hard. I expect that is going to be different in this next game, and that Harden is going to be tested, and that lack of conditioning is going to show itself once again. So I'm not buying that Harden has suddenly leaped into, you know, a time machine and is going back to the Harden that we're used to, who gave us consistent performances. I would be more likely to bet on that this was a one-off and we'll see Miami Harden once again.
Well, for the Heat's sake, I hope you're right. But it was fun to watch James Harden back as himself for that game, and he was playing with a lot of energy. It was fun to watch. Thanks so much for jumping on, Rick. Appreciate you. Have a great week.
You have it, Doctor. You too.
Thanks, Rick. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd alongside Alex Curry all week. If you don't know what Rick is talking about, I got an honorary doctorate from my alma mater this weekend after I gave the commencement speech, which I was very nervous about, but did it. You know, it was a checklist, like a
bucket
thing.
List.
It was. I mean, I don't know that I had ever planned on it because I didn't think that I would ever get to the point where someone would want to.
Yeah. but you did great. Stop saying you were nervous because you did an amazing job. Let's put that narrative behind us. You did amazing. You inspired a bunch of young children.
Thank
and now
you.
You're a doctor.
Thank you.
Dr. Joy.
Thank you very much, Alex. We'll talk to Mary Kay Cabot, one of my favorite reporters, Cleveland Browns reporter. She does an amazing job. We'll talk to her and discuss this this new wave of Lakers information that we just got from a Bill Plaschke article coming up next on The Herd.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.